Hi. I'm Roxanna, as Lonnie said. I get a little bit nervous every time I share this, even though it's been quite a few times that I've shared this, and it's just because I'm amazed, and I continue to be amazed at what God can do in our hearts. I grew up in a home where appearing to be the perfect family is what mattered. We didn't talk about things that were bad and always put on a front that we had no troubles. Everything bad was swept under the rug. I never knew really how my parents worked out through problems, even though at times I could hear them arguing at night. So I grew up thinking that if you didn't have any arguments, everything was good. Fast forward to adulthood, and I had been married for almost 10 years when my husband told me he didn't want to be married anymore. I had no idea what had gone wrong, since we didn't appear to have any issues. Up until then, I thought we had a great marriage. We had two great kids, I was a stay-at-home mom, and in my world, all was well. Looking back now, I see that we were far from perfect, and the perspective that I had on marriage was wrong. I had placed my children first, my husband second, and God last. Needless to say, we did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ at the time. We were separated in August of 2000, and a month after, he confessed that he had had a one-night stand since leaving our home. I was hurt and angry, but willing to forgive. Since I struggled with control, I decided to do whatever it took to get my marriage back on track. We started going to counseling. I worked out a lot, trying to get back into top shape after having a baby, and I even asked him what it was that I needed to do to make things work. I was naive enough to think that I could fix things somehow. I was trying to take control and sweep major issues under the rug. I had spent many nights crying to God to bring my husband back. I prayed countless prayers for our marriage to go back to what it used to be. This was all done in the privacy of my bedroom where no one could hear me. In the daytime, I pretended everything was good with me. One night, as I was crying inconsolably, I was tired, and then I realized that I had been praying the wrong prayer. I decided to call out to God, but in a different way this time. I told him that I didn't understand why this was happening, but I wanted to help him. But I wanted him to help me with this. I could not do this alone, and I needed him. The next morning, I was still sad about my marriage, but the difference was that I was now taking this on by myself. I was handing it over to God and trusting him with it. A huge burden was lifted because now it was out of my hands. Soon after, I started going to church and finding my comfort in him. I bought my first Bible and started reading it. Not quite sure how to go about it, as I had never seen or shown how to do this before, but I was finding peace and spending time in his word. As an act of obedience to him, who was so faithful to me in my time of anguish, I chose to get baptized and turn my life over to him. A few months had passed, and he was on his normal routine with picking up and dropping off the kids. During this time, I had heard a lot from the kids about being around this woman that he had the one-night stand with. I asked him to please not see her when the kids were around, but his answer was, "She likes them and she's good with them." My response to that was, "Well, tell her to get her own kids to like. These are mine." For a long time, I couldn't call her by her name. It was always that woman or the blonde, and these were the nice names that I called her. It was a long 2 years before he decided that this wasn't going to work and he filed for divorce. After the divorce, I put on a face of, "I'm okay, I can handle this, I'm doing great." But the truth was that I was lonely, angry, and scared. I felt like no one understood what I was going through. 2 years after my divorce, a friend told me she had started attending Watermark and was participating in divorce care. I guess she sensed the anger in my voice from talking to me week after week about her own divorce, and she invited me to come with her the following week. To my surprise, the class was on anger. I continued to attend, and I started for the first time in my life to seek hard after the Lord. It was only through coming each week to divorce care that I realized that I had really not forgiven my ex. Each week, I poured into the homework and the scriptures associated with each chapter. It was only then that I allowed Christ to heal my hurt, and I chose to fully forgive my ex-husband. After finishing divorce care, I joined a community group, and the leader of that group encouraged me and loved me. It was from her that I learned what a true woman of God looks like. She taught me that I didn't need to hide behind a perfect mask and pretend everything is okay. I could acknowledge my faults and confess my sins and seek forgiveness from God, but also from my ex-husband for the way I had not done my part in being the kind of wife God would have me to be. Forgiving her was a whole different story. I wanted to think I had already forgiven her when I forgave him. I also wanted to think that she didn't deserve my forgiveness. However, the Spirit stirred me many times. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I was starting to forgive. My ex-husband ended up marrying the blonde, and I recall very clearly the first time she came to pick up the kids without him. I remember she was pregnant, and she sat quietly in the car waiting for the kids to come out. To her surprise, I came out without the kids. She looked at me like a deer in the headlights when I reached the car. I looked in and greeted her and told her that I didn't know whose idea it was for her to sit in the car waiting for the kids to come out. What I would like is for her to come to the door and get the kids. She sat there with a blank stare, and I said to her, "I forgave you and him a long time ago." That's when she got out of the car and said, "I'm sorry, Roxanna." I also said I wanted for things to be good between us, for the kids and the baby she was about to have. She said she wanted the same. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." After the kids left with her that day, I came into my house and started crying. I had no idea this is what I was going to say, and I thank God for giving me the words that had been so hard to formulate before. A big burden was lifted, and I felt the peace of God. Over time, we started talking on the phone, but mainly to coordinate pickup and drop-off of the kids. We figured it was easier to talk to each other than to have my ex as the messenger, since she did most of the carpooling. She had the baby, and I had the kids take some flowers to her at the hospital, and we bought the baby a gift. When the baby was close to turning one, my kids kept on telling me that I was invited to the birthday party at their house. I wasn't sure if this was true, so I called her and I asked her about it. I said, "I don't want to invite myself, but the kids keep on telling me that I'm invited. If I'm not invited, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure if you had invited me that I wasn't ignoring the invitation." She told me that yes, indeed, I was invited, and she would like for me to be there. She would understand if I didn't accept, if it might make me feel uncomfortable. I said, "Not at all," and I would be there. She then proceeded to say to me, "Roxanna, if I had known all the pain this was going to cause, I would never have done this. I'm so sorry. The day of the party, I made my way to her, and I thanked her for inviting me and for having said what she had said a few days earlier. We both looked at each other, cried, and hugged. I continued to invite them to Watermark, and so you know, just because I had forgiven them didn't mean that this inviting process was easy. This was my church, these were my friends, and I didn't want to share such a good place with them. However, I knew that it was good for the kids to come here all the time, and I needed to be obedient to God and the prompting that He had placed in my heart. Eventually, they accepted my invitation, and they started coming, and they have been coming for over 5 years now. It's been awkward and uncomfortable at times, but I see the long-term benefits that this will bring our kids and the glory that this brings God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Thank you.